commercial on television. 2020, no, that's the wrong 2020. We are in the year 2020, and I don't know if that's hard for you to imagine, but it is hard for me to get my mind around. Does anybody remember when the whole system was going to come crashing down when we rolled over from 1990 to the year 2000 and the Y2K spectacle? And yet here we are. And so we pray that God gives you a vision for this year that will be challenging, faith-building, encouraging, transforming. We pray that this will be a marvelous, marvelous year. So at Merit Assembly of God, we're updating our vision statement, if you will. It was love, serve, grow. That's what it's been. But we're going to simplify that. We're boiling that down to quite simply this: be a blessing. Be a blessing. And I pray that you will be a blessing to God. In order to be a blessing, you first of all have to be blessed. You have to be blessed by God. And we see that in the life of Abraham. And no matter where you are, what arena you may be in, who you are with, or if you happen to be all by yourself, you still have the opportunity to be a blessing. And if all of us would look at our daily routines and, you know, just have the mindset, I'm going to be a blessing to someone today. If it's just to bless God, well, what greater honor could there be than that? But we pray that Merit Assembly of God will be challenging to you to be a blessing to God, your house, your family, your neighborhood, your church, and your workplace. Be a blessing, and let God bless you to an even greater degree than what you have been before. So we ended up 2019. We were talking out of Psalm 37 about how we can take covetousness and turn it around and set our heart on things that are good. So we concluded the year with that passage. Today I want to take you to Psalm 119, and we are going to begin reading in verse number 33. Psalm 119. It's pretty much right in the middle of your Bible. You'll find the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. It is just a couple of pages after the shortest psalm, or a couple of chapters. I do want to say thank you today to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you would like to begin this year having control over the temperature in your house and being able to make it warm if it needs to be warm, or cool it off if it needs to be cool, and right now your system is not cooperating with that agenda, if you are in Central Brevard County, give Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. He was driving by the church here a few weeks ago, and I didn't recognize it. I was just walking outside, and he called my name, and I looked, and it's like, I think I know that vehicle. And he was on his way to buy parts so that he could get somebody's air conditioner up and running, or heater up and running. It was a motor that was the problem that day. And you know, he's just a great guy. I got a whole bunch of avocados from a listener from the radio program. I got another batch of avocados from Bill. And man, did we really enjoy those throughout the holidays. So if you need your AC or your heater up and working, give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. Let's get on to Psalm 119. We would like to invite you out to church this week. We are going to begin on Sunday with a week of prayer and fasting. We're setting our heart on seeing our people made whole in 2020. So that's where we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be believing for. We got an evangelist coming in the second Sunday of the month, I believe that is. Should be January the 12th. I'm almost positive that is the correct date. And so we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. If you need healing in your body, come join us as we seek the face of God and watch him do great things in us and for us. Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commands, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So when we closed out the year with Psalm 37, there were a lot of things that we talked about in those first eight verses that were things that we could do, things that we could focus on. We could not worry. We could trust in the Lord. We could do good, dwell in the land. We could feed on his faithfulness. We could delight ourselves in the Lord so that he would give us the desires of our heart. We could commit our way to the Lord. We could trust in him, and we could rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and not fret. We could cease from anger. So over those broadcasts, we talked about those things. In Psalm 119, the psalmist kind of takes that approach, and he flips it on its head a little bit, and he says, God, these are some things that I would like to request. Now, remember, we talked about that he would give us the desires of our heart, and so now we're going to talk about some of those desires that the psalmist had that he requested God to grant him and what his response was going to be. So take a look at me with me at verse number 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Not too many people that I know really were all that thrilled about going to school. They, you know, if left to our own devices, we would be content at whatever level we are. There, it takes something that God plants inside of us as a drive to excel and to understand, to continue to grow. And for the psalmist, he said, look, I'm not just looking for any teacher. I'm looking for the best teacher. I'm looking for the one who is going to be able to instruct me in the most excellent way that I could be taught. You know, I'm sure that you had your favorite teachers, and I'm sure that you had some other teachers that weren't all that much your favorite, but God is an excellent teacher. A lot of charismatics and Pentecostals, they like to focus on Moses on the mountain where he said to God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. But in that exact same passage, Moses said this, God, teach me your ways. This was a man who was raised with the best education that Egypt could offer. He had gone into the wilderness and he had encountered a different culture where he learned to raise sheep, but he also had an encounter with God there. So he goes back to his previous culture to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And it is at that point in time that he goes up on the mountain and he says this, God, teach me your ways. Now, I believe that he got to see the, you know, the backside of the glory of the Lord. God said, you can't handle everything that I could reveal. He said, but if you will go, you'll position yourself there. I'm going to pass by and I'll let you see just a little bit as I pass by. He protected him. But Moses was one who, it wasn't just about the glory, it was about, God, teach me your way. Your kingdom come, your will be done, even in this place that is of a completely different culture, a different dynamic, a different education. We need to avail ourselves of the opportunity. We need to treat ourselves to the luxury of God teaching us his way. Do you realize that in America right now, we have more access to the Word of God, more access to biblical teaching, more access to praise and worship, more access to fellowship and community than ever before, and yet many people still do not take advantage of the opportunities that they have right in front of them. There is no one on planet Earth that can prevent you from learning about God and his ways, because God wants to teach us his ways. You say, well, what does this have to do with covetousness? Well, God is not a God who covets in a negative sense. He has a longing. He has a drive. You know, the Bible talks about the zeal of the Lord as consuming. There was something that God had his heart set on, and that was redeeming lost mankind. He was very zealous for us. He is zealous for performing the word of God. And so the psalmist here says, teach me, O Lord, your ways. Now, I remember when cell phones were coming out and technology was advancing like crazy. And I had this mindset. I'm going to tell you what the mindset was. This thing is expensive, and I don't want to find myself in a position where I do something to this phone that is going to render it useless. You know, it was a cautious approach. My kids, many times they would invest in a quality of phone more than what I had. You know, phones that were costing a lot of money back in the day, now you can get for just a few dollars. I mean, they're just the cutting edge technology of the early 2000s is now just almost basically free. It's you just can't, it's not cutting edge technology. So, but my kids wanted, at least one of my kids wanted cutting edge technology. So they would invest and they would get the new phone. And the very first thing that they would do is they would begin to educate themselves on the phone. And they would figure out how to do something. And they knew that if they tried something and it didn't work, they could just hit the back button. And it's because of technology like that and a desire to learn like that, that the rest of us have to end up going to our kids and saying, how do I get this to work? Well, it's because they took the time to learn. Have you ever asked God to just say, God, would you teach me your way? Would you create your heartbeat in my life, so I see things the way that you see things, and I hear what is going on in heaven, and I do the things that I see that you do. Okay? God said this in a passage in the Old Testament. You thought that I was altogether like you. And what a mind-blowing concept, if you will, when we realize God's not like me at all. He operates by a completely different paradigm. He is not impressed with the glitz or the glamour of this world. He is impressed by the employed faith that he has sovereignly planted in the hearts of men and women. he is impressed when the unconditional love that he has for us becomes the operating system by which we speak, by which we think, by which we act. We are constantly looking out for the other person. Teach me, O Lord, your way. So there is that part, but then the psalmist doesn't stop there. He says this, and I shall keep it to the end. It is a very interesting thing that if you teach someone the ways of God, you have not lost anything. I remember when I was at my very first staff position, it was in the Chicago area, and there was a video that was shown, a film. We didn't call them movies back in those days because we didn't go to movies, and we certainly weren't going to show movies in the church. This was a short film. What's the difference? There isn't any. There was one difference about this particular film that was shown, though, and that was there was no dialogue. It was a modern silent movie, and it showed this person who had discovered this music box, and whenever he opened this music box, it played this most beautiful music, and it brought joy to him, and he kept it a secret. And so whenever someone would come around, he would close the box. He would hide the box. He didn't want anybody else experiencing this joy until he later on in the movie, he realized that a greater joy was awaiting when he introduced the joy of the music box to the other people who were just as miserable as he had been before he found the music box. And education in the Lord is that way. When I come here on the radio program and I share with you the things that God has spoken into my life and into my heart, I don't lose anything. I get to share it, and I get to watch it blossom in your life, bloom in your life, and I share these things with the expectation that when you hear the Word of God, when you allow God to teach you, that you are going to say, that's the way I want to live for the rest of my life. I shall keep it to the end. That is a commitment. It wasn't just a, you know, like college. You know, college, you almost take a vow of poverty to go there, and they're going to teach you something. But really, it is about what are you going to do with that knowledge when you get out? If you are just learning something like the Greeks that Paul encountered at Mars Hill, you know, where all they did was sit around and they wanted to hear the latest, the newest, the most popular teaching of the day, but in actuality, there wasn't going to be any application of what they heard in their life. It was just what is new, what is fresh. Wow, I've never heard that before. Well, if you've never heard it before and you're not going to do anything with it, it's not going to result in any fruit. You and I, we've got to say, God, teach me your ways, because I want to be your ambassador. I want to be your messenger. I want to be a demonstrator of what a life transformed by the glory of God looks like. God, teach me your ways so I can live in my day, in my time, for your purpose, according to your ways, so that we can see the results that you want to accomplish. Is there anything that God could do in your life? And you say, you know what, when I taste and see what the Lord has, it's going to make me not ever want to go back to that other stuff ever again. I can think right now of a very practical, nothing spiritual application in my life, where when I discovered that there was another possibility than what I had been used to, that I embraced the new possibility, and I never went back to the old possibility. It was like, okay, that was better than the other, but this is better than that, and so I'm gonna stick with this over here. So I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding. That's the second thing that we want to talk about here, is give me understanding. The number one question that kids ask, it's on a road trip, is that, are we there yet? But if it's not there, if it's not that sphere, it's a one-word question, and it's this: why? Well, we're going to do it this way. Why? Well, we're going to do this. Well, why? They want to know the purpose. Okay? Now, I like the fact that God gives us peace beyond our understanding. The greatest understanding that we can have is that the Lord is in control. And because we understand that the Lord is in control, if he tells us to do something before he explains to us the why we are doing it, that's okay by me. Because the greatest understanding is understanding who he is, and that it's a privilege for me to do life with him. Give me that understanding, and I shall keep your law. See, too many people have the wrong understanding. Adam and Eve were fine until the serpent came along and messed up Eve's understanding of who God was, of what God said, and what the consequences were. They didn't understand that God meant what he said. I think that it's very, very important that we remember that not only are the blessings that God promises faithful and true, but the consequences for disobedience that God warns us about are faithful and true. We don't have to endure a lot of the heartache and everything that we experience if we would just say, I am going to keep, I'm going to observe, I'm going to obey the things that God has told me. Now, you have to understand, I have a compliant personality. You know, you've heard me talk about complying with the instructions that the doctor gave me when I was dealing with my vision issue. But to a greater degree, I want to comply with what God tells me to do. And amazingly enough, God doesn't forget the things that he told you to do. Several years ago, I can't tell you exactly how many years ago because I don't remember, but God told me to prayer walk Merritt Island all the way down from the bridge almost to the O'Galley Causeway all the way up to the Space Center. It's a pretty good trek. And I did it not only from south to north, I also did it from the western border to the eastern border. I walked the perimeter. I didn't walk up and down every street or things like that. But that first stretch was very painful. And you know, the legs began to cramp up and seize up, and I had to call my son and say, hey, you know, can you come get me? I'm at a place. I mean, I discovered that back in those days there was nothing. In fact, I don't think there's anything commercial along that stretch of road at all. It is a whole bunch of nothing going on down there. You'd better make sure you have all the gas you need. And so because it was such a painful experience, I went quite a while before that second stretch ever took place, until one day I was praying and God said this: did you ever fulfill that prayer walk that I told you to do? And I said, no, sir. And he gave me a strategy. And I will tell you, the first stretch was painful. The second stretch, the completion of the journey, was absolutely transformational. It was so insightful. I learned things about Merritt Island I didn't know before. And I will tell you that if you and I will say, God, teach me your way, give me understanding, and I tell you what, I will keep your law and I will keep it to the end. So there are some things that God has told me, you know, this is what I want you to do, and so I will do those. There are other things that God said, I don't want you to do that, and so as a result of that, I don't do those things. Other people might do them, and I say, you know what? What is that to me? Peter and John in the last book of the, or last chapter of the Gospel of John, God tells Peter about what his future holds, and he sees John walking over there, and he says, well, what about him? What about him? Is his end going to look as unpleasant as mine? And Jesus looks at Peter and says, what is that to you? You just do what I tell you to do. And I will tell you, our lives have been blessed because God had a plan for John. God also had a plan for Peter. The book of Revelation came because John said, you know what? I'm going to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Even if I'm all by myself here on a rock, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to be obedient to what God has told me. God bless you. This is going to be a great year. I pray that you'll join us tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus hanging on the cross, and I can see Jesus.